Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
There is a phrase that's repeated throughout the Old Testament. And the word of the Lord came saying, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. And to Ezekiel, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord, I will not be inquired of by you. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And here it is again. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay as is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Now, I've just given you these few examples, but there's one other example I want to give you from the prophet Jeremiah that I'm using as the foundation, as the text of my message this morning on how God speaks. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle will come to you saying, by my field which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth. So the Lord gave Jeremiah a word, and now he's receiving confirmation upon the word. Please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. And then I've highlighted this last statement here. Then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. As we get into this subject this morning on how God speaks, I have had some difficulty at times trying the best I can to understand certain preachers and some Christian believers who say that the only way that God can speak to someone is in the verses of Scripture. When in the verses of Scripture we find numerous ways in which God speaks. I'm going to be covering seven this morning. So hang on, I know we have communion this morning. But yes, make no mistake about it. The Bible is the plumb line, if you will. The Bible is the foundation. The Bible is the standard by which everything else is judged and tested. I'm going to be coming back to that at the end of this message this morning. But the Bible is not the only way God speaks. The last time I spoke from this pulpit 2 weeks ago, before I was afflicted with that nasty COVID. If you gave me COVID, I forgive you, okay? And thankfully, my wife doesn't have it. She tried to kiss me that whole time, and you know, I said, no, you stay back. And, but, it, you know, I try to at the end of that week, you know, I started feeling, and then Friday came, and then finally I just said, I can't preach, and then I tested, and so anyways, by Tuesday of this past week, I was negative and feeling okay now, and so forth. But when I was preaching the last time, and this sermon today is supposed to be like part two of where I left off. But I was preaching about how critically important it is in the last days. And I believe with everything in me that we're living in the last days. It's so critically important that we hear the voice of Jesus, our shepherd, and we follow him. Amen? And the key verse that I used in that message, if you were here, was John chapter 10, verse 3. The sheep hear his voice. The shepherd is speaking. The shepherd speaks. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. This speaks of intimate relationship. It speaks of communication that's going on. I want you to look at this, these important verses, opening verses of the letter of Hebrews. As we talk this morning about how God speaks. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. So let's begin right there. He made the world. God can and God does speak through creation. Number one, the heavens are telling, it tells us in Psalm 19. The heavens are telling us a message. They're speaking a message of the glory of God. The expanse is declaring something to us. The work of God's hands as the creator day to day pours forth speech. And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear that God is speaking through what he has created so that no one has an excuse. There's no excuse. He says here, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So I wanted to begin right there with creation, but I want to move on and spend a little bit more time on this next one, because God speaks through people. God speaks to people. God speaks to nations, through people. I want God to speak through me this morning. I hope you have a desire in your life for God to speak through your life. When Jeremiah's uncle came and gave him this word of confirmation, Jeremiah said, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. On one of Paul's missionary journeys when he was coming back, the prophet Agabus took Paul's belt, and Agabus bound his own hands and his feet. And he said to Paul, this is what the Holy Spirit says. Do you believe the Holy Spirit can speak through someone? This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem are going to bind the man who owns this belt. I want you to stay with me here very carefully. I believe this is important to understand this. I want you to, when we talk about God speaking through people, I want you to look at this very key verse that I've chosen here. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel. What is counsel essentially? Counsel is people speaking to people. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. Can you see what's happening to our nation? This nation that we love? There aren't enough people who are hearing the counsel of God and heeding the counsel of God. No wonder we're in the mess that we're in. Because God has the answers for us. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What does this mean for you? Does this mean in your life that you need to listen to everyone and act upon everything that everyone says? Obviously not. But what this means is this. Listen to me carefully. You need people in your life who will listen to you and who will speak into your life. A counselor is someone who listens and speaks. Jesus, of course, is the wonderful counselor. He is literally the miracle counselor. But you say this morning, Pastor, I'm going to make all of the important decisions of my life on my own. That would be your first mistake. That would be your first mistake. And here's why. You are too emotionally involved with yourself to make all of the important decisions of your life on your own. Elijah tried that and it took him straight down. And the worst thing you can do is to isolate yourself and to trust your own feelings and emotions. This is a concern I have for younger people today because I believe that they're making emotional, ill-advised decisions and some of them are going to follow them all of their lives. Because there's safety in counsel. You say, well, who can make a better decision for my life than me? I want to tell you, other people can make decisions. God can speak through other people. Wisdom, caution, and safety into your life. God can use people that are more objective than you are about your situation. God may speak through someone who has a little bit more knowledge and experience than you do. God may speak through people that are more factual about the situation you're going through. They're not going to be blinded by your emotions and feelings. You see, a true friend, a true counselor is going to tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. Amen? A true friend, a true counselor is going to tell you what's best for you. If it's all up to you, you're going to take the road of least resistance. You're going to take the easy path. If it's all up to you to make those decisions. I'm not saying that you put aside all choice, or I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that God can use people to speak into our lives if we're willing. The problem is, in modern society and even in the church, people are saying, hey, I'm going to be the boss of my own life. I'm going to be the captain of my own ship. I'm going to do what I please. No, not if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, Jesus is the boss of your life. And He's given relationships in His body, the church. That's why we're trying to do these small groups and all and build relationships so there's accountability. We're trying to develop the membership. So people aren't just off on their own. And there's a responsibility. Some people say, I'm the boss of my own life. And the truth is that in the church, God has given other Christian believers in the body for our safety and counsel. That's a sermon in and of itself. I need to move on. Number three. So there's a countdown. I said I have seven. We're only to number three now. Can God speak in an audible voice if He chooses to do so? Yes. God can speak in an audible voice, and God has spoken in an audible voice. You look back at the Old Testament, the third chapter of Samuel, the boy Samuel was ministering before Eli. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days because there was no widespread revelation. Why? What does that mean? Does that mean that God just arbitrarily stopped speaking and He was no longer speaking, that God has a speaking problem? No. If the conditions in that day were such that the people had a hearing problem, and yet God did speak, because Samuel, and this is why I believe it was an audible voice, Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. And plus, the Bible tells us that at that time Samuel did not yet know the Lord, so we would be hard-pressed to say that God was speaking to him in some still small voice within. No, I believe God was speaking to him in an audible voice. And Samuel said, "Lord, speak, for your servant hears." Your servant is listening. I have no evidence that I can present to you today, and I have no reason to prove anything about my own experience. But I can tell you what happened to me. When Jesus called me, I wasn't in a church service. I wasn't in a revival meeting. I was going down a flight of steps, and I heard Him call my name. He stopped me in my tracks, and He spoke to me, and I heard His voice. But let's just put that aside for a moment. Let's just consider the testimony of the Apostle Paul in Holy Scripture. Look at this. On the road to Damascus, he fell to the ground and heard a voice. He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, can we know for certain that that was an audible voice? Yes, because just a few verses down in chapter 9, verse 7, look at this. "The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one." Remember what happened at the baptism of Jesus? The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. A voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." The people heard the voice. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took His inner circle, Peter, James, and John, and they were there. And the Bible says a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." Now, let me give a strong word of caution here. Psychiatric wards are filled with people hearing voices. But you know, the last time I was preaching, I was talking about all these voices there are a lot of voices speaking today. I talked about the satanic voice, the religious voice, the secular voice. The counsel of the ungodly is everywhere. We need to test the spirits. We need to test these voices, whether they be of God or not. But don't ever underestimate the ability of God to speak. If you limit Him, then maybe that's why He's not speaking to you. God even spoke through a donkey. Do you know that? "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?'" I take great comfort in this verse, because I figure, you know, hey, if God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through me. Now, if you're thinking something bad about me, get that thought out of your mind right now, okay? Number four, God speaks through angels. An angel of the Lord appeared to Moses from the midst of the bush. Remember that? Called Moses' name. "Moses, you're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off." The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherd saying, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy." The angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, and the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." In Acts chapter 27, after a 14-day life-threatening storm, when there seemed to be no hope for the Apostle Paul and the 276 others who were on that ship with him, there was no hope at that point. But then we have this testimony from Paul and how this was resolved. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I want you to look at this very critical verse here. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? I love Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Now, let me give a strong word of caution right here. This is all one way ministry, one-way communication. We do not seek angels. We do not pray to angels. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. So we need to be careful in these things, because today in the new age, all of this, you know, you got a lot of these things. We need to be very careful. Paul said, even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Number five, God speaks through dreams and visions. Have you ever had one from God? I'm talking about a spiritual dream, spiritual vision. Following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said this, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. God spoke to Jacob in a dream. God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream. God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Cornelius and Peter had corresponding visions that brought them together, and the Gentiles were ushered in to the church. John had a vision on the island of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice. By the way, the Lord's day, do you know what the Lord's day? Why are we here on Sunday morning? Because it's the day of resurrection. It's the first day of the week, the Lord's day. And John said he heard a voice as of a trumpet. When I thought about this, and this may be a word for someone, maybe you're here today and you're really seeking some direction in your life. Maybe this is for you, because God laid this verse on my heart. I remembered when I saw what John said there, I thought about a verse that I really love in Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go. Do you believe that God's able to speak to you, to give you direction in your life? I do. The Apostle Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Number six, let me briefly mention another way God speaks. And some of you here today, you might be well acquainted with this voice. All of us will be at some time in this life. God speaks through pain. In fact, some of the greatest messages ever given, some of the greatest lessons ever learned have come through difficult, painful experiences. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. What a message. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Job said, man is also chastened with pain on his bed, and with strong pain in many of his bones. Oh, praise God. Isn't it a beautiful day out there today, the sunshine? But man, when that snow was coming a few weeks ago and all that rain, your bones, do your bones hurt? C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pain. Okay, number 7. I'll be brief here, coming to a close now. I'm going to close where I started, with God's Word. God speaks through his Word. God speaks through the Bible. And this book, God's Word, this is the only, this is what we take at face value. Everything else has to be judged and tested by the Word. That's why we need to be people of God's Word. And here's what you can stand on. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words are not going to pass away. Jeremiah saw confirmation upon the word he received. And when he received it, he said, then I knew it was the word of the Lord. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. How we need the Word of God today. How we need the Word of God. Now, if you'll just give me a couple more moments. Oh, there's a lot of verses and passages in this message that I've shared with you, but we're living in the last days, no doubt about it. We're living in evil times. They call good evil, evil good. Everything seems to be upside down. I want to give you 4 ways to abide safely in the last days. You know, we talk about simple church. These are simple, basic things. But this has to be the foundation. What do we need to do? Number 1, abide in God's Word. This is how you keep your sanity in an insane world, is the truth, the stability of God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Put on the whole garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Don't let the world rob you of your song and of your joy as you abide in God's Word. Here's the second thing. Abide in prayer. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm clinging to God more and more in prayer. That's our lifeline. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Number 3, abide in Christian fellowship. Please hear me today. There's safety in the fold. If you stray from the fold, you put yourself in danger. You can't make it alone. You put yourself in danger when you stray from the fold, and maybe even death. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more, since you see that the day of the Lord is drawing near. We sang this morning, even so come, Lord Jesus. It's drawing near. And we need one another in the body of Christ. And then last of all, abide patiently. Wait for the test of time. Don't rush out. Jeremiah didn't rush out hastily. When he received that word, he tested it. And when he received confirmation, then he moved. Abide patiently for the test of time and confirmation. Then I knew that it was the word of the Lord. Here's God's word to you today. He who has ears to hear. Do you? Do you? Can you hear him? When's the last time God has spoken to you? Can you hear his voice? Let him hear what the Spirit says. God is speaking in many ways. Are we listening to him?
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.